So Joe Biden's a Republican and Cory Booker cares about the Constitution? Let's hit rewind and decode the Democrat debates. The Monica Perez Show starts now. This is Monica Perez, waking Atlanta up to the true threats to our liberty every Saturday from 3 to 6 right here on 95.5 WSB. This week, a couple of big things dominated the news cycle. Well, I should say, the Democrat debates dominated the news cycle. But for me, the much, much, much more important story, I could not even figure out the search term to get the basics of the story, which is Trump signed this insanely huge budget with an insanely huge deficit that is going to add to our debt that has reached a very significant marker. The first time, maybe the second time ever, but certainly the first time since World War II, our national debt exceeds our GDP. So the debt to GDP ratio is greater than one or greater than 100%. It's unsustainable. It's crazy. And I think about that something I shared with on the show recently, but somebody shared with me. It was when MacArthur and JFK got together. MacArthur, I believe it was MacArthur, was really old and JFK was president. And MacArthur said, the thing that is the strength of our country is the economy. That's what our defense is. It's the economy. And I think Eisenhower said the same thing. So when I see a national debt that will destroy us economically, I think it's treason. So not everybody wants to talk about debt and budgets. I don't know why it gets me so crazed, but I am going to talk about it. I'm going to give you some math later, just some numbers. I'm not even going to make you do math. You'll be shocked at the numbers. But that's the serious stuff. That's the stuff that it's hard to find. So we'll do some more fun stuff in the meanwhile, which, well, I think it's fun because it's like a puzzle. It's decoding. So the Democrat debates, my guess is most of the people who are listening right now did not watch them. And I, of course, would not have watched them. It's basically unbearable, very close to unbearable. I have to watch it on, I think I got it up to 1.75 times speed on YouTube. But I watch it because there's a couple of pieces of information in it that are important to us. One is, what is all the posturing and theater for? Because there's a lot of posturing, there's a lot of scripting, there's a lot of role playing, and there's a reason for it. I don't think it is simply to beat Trump. It might not be to beat Trump at all. It might be to arrange certain campaign styles or to set things up in a certain way. But even that, to me, has a purpose that's meant to influence our opinions of things, our emotions. So the theater part of it has information that's important to us. And then there's also an element of the ideas and ideology and agenda that they're pushing, and they're using this platform in a kind of back and forth theatrical environment that keeps people a little bit engaged with the drama and the emotions. They use that open forum, the forum that opens your mind, to insert ideas, either new ideas or old ideas, to inject talking points. So when you hear Andrew Yang, what am I doing here? Well, I said to my wife, gosh darn it, I'm worried. You know, it's like, I don't think you're worried about, you might be worried. I have no idea. But you are there to introduce into the mind of the public, particularly maybe young people or naive people or people who are new to the game or aren't very versed in the nitty gritty, that robots are taking jobs. Therefore, we need to give everyone a universal basic income. That's the idea that he exists in the public arena this year in this context to transmit into your brain. And there's a few things like that in the debate. So my overall impression of Joe Biden was two things. He's meant to sound like a bumbling idiot, and we will play some of those clips, which I have to give credit to my producer, Binkley, for pointing out that Mueller was deliberately meant to be a bumbling idiot because he's supposed to feed into this prejudice against older people, part of the age dialectic that I think was launched with Parkland. So, Binkley, kudos to you on picking out that the age dialectic was part of what Biden was there to do.
Thank you, and happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I don't normally work on my birthday, but I couldn't resist.
This doesn't feel like work.
No, this particular, sometimes it does. So I'm going to stay away from any of the topics that really break my heart. And we're going to keep it light. And, oh, I want to do something. I have a favor to ask. If anybody wants to wish me well or to give me my birthday wish, this is what I want to do. So we all know, I've got a few recent comments people remember, and I talk about it nonstop because it really bummed me out. I got purged from WordPress. I got dinged because of the Parkland thing, my insights into what happened and what was going to happen as a result of the Parkland story last year, that my YouTube video, one of them got taken down. I got a strike, and I basically stopped posting there. And you have said that our stuff gets demonetized. As soon as it's
uploaded.
Right.
Just about. Well, so the monetization gets limited.
Yeah. So Google does not prevent my handicapped child from getting dark-themed, suicide-themed, sexual-themed autoplay videos queued up after he's trying to watch literally a My Little Pony thing. My husband was worried about my son, who has Down syndrome and is a teenager, watching My Little Pony until he saw what, like, Up Next was. And then he was like, please, stick to My Little Pony. But we cannot figure out how to limit it like that. So YouTube doesn't care about that stuff, but really got mad when I bullied Sheriff Israel. That is what that was the term of service that they claim I violated. So I decided that I was going to do something fun for me and something that I consider to be like borderline. You know, I love to make craft cocktails. That's my hobby. But I am hypervigilant about not overdoing it. I realize that's a dangerous thing to play with this kind of stuff. I think free speech is a good that they should want to promote, but they suppress that. And there's no chance on earth they're going to suppress my fantastic cocktail videos. They are probably going to put it in my son's autoplay, which is not what I want. But if I'm going to start making these videos, if I can get enough subscribers on my YouTube channel, which has kind of been dormant, but I'm going to reboot it and rejuvenate it. So if you go, I actually put it on my Twitter at Monica Perez Show. I put it on my website, MonicaPerezShow.com, Facebook, or you can just go to YouTube and look, search Monica Perez, find my YouTube video, YouTube channel. And I'm going to set a very modest goal. I want 1,000 subscribers. I think that's what I need to monetize it, right, Binkley?
That's correct.
You think that's correct at this time? Okay. So let's start. Please, let's see if we can get to 1,000 subscribers for my YouTube video, my YouTube channel by the end of this show. I rarely do promotions, so I'm going to just do it now as a birthday present to myself. And another birthday present to myself is going to be some of the hilarious clips. Oh my gosh. How fast can I get a clip? I'll have to wait till after the break. I love your what you think Gillibrand's slogan should be.
Oh yeah,
I have to have that. So well, let's do that after the break. I think that's clip 4. So we've got these funny little themes emerging. Biden is playing the doddering idiot, but he's also a Republican. I don't know if everybody caught that. Did you catch that, Binkley, or did I?
Biden is the stand-in for the Trump Republican in these debates.
I think it's not even the Trump Republican. Like, you can say he plays the role as
right.
Trump, but that's the racist Biden thing. The Republican thing, it's like an old man thing, like an old white guy thing, which is not Trump's persona.
With the busing, he was talking about states' rights over federal rights.
Not this round, but
the first round
of the debates. Yeah, I missed that, but now I'm that's completely consistent with my impression of how he is being portrayed in this. And it's so funny because it sounds like an old coot, and he doesn't obviously doesn't know how to use the internet. I mean, the clips that we picked, I think are really funny. Like like with the Mueller thing, as soon as I started seeing people like, is this guy senile? I thought, definitely playing a role. There's no way you get this. They really craft that image. It's like they want to deposit it directly inside your cerebellum, whatever. They just want it in there, just inject it in there. And you're not supposed to like see the mechanism. You don't want to see the strings. But we see the strings, and then it's fun and funny. But people are like, this is serious stuff. I'm like, it's actually tragic. So if you don't laugh, you're going to cry.
Well, tragedy is comedy.
Oh, that's too deep for me, man.
Too deep for this time of day?
I just don't have that, like, what is it? It's the, I think I'm, like, highly right-brained. What's the math thing?
I have no idea.
All right, I think I'm super left-brained. And the right brain is the creative stuff, which I have none of. This is the most creative thing I do, is analyze the news, the debt. Like, that's my most creative outlet. It's like, oh, I have this insight into the debt.
Are there a bunch of mathematicians in the left brain and a bunch of artists in the right brain? Is that how it works?
Yes. The way I remember it is that I'm, like, hyper right-handed, and your left brain, like, I can't do anything with my left hand. So the left brain dominates the right side, and clearly, like, you know, like, 3/4 of my brain is left. Don't think of that in a political sense, but it's just the way, you know, maybe it's a trick of science. They call it that, but it has nothing to do with reality. How do I know? I ever kind of brain out and touch it and see which hand moves. All right. We are really getting off track. So let's take a break, and then we're going to come back. And I absolutely have to hear Binkley's idea for Gillibrand's slogan in her own words. 404-872-0750, 800-WSB-TALK, or you can tweet at me at Monica Perez Show.
Monica Perez.
They think they control the galaxy. I disagree.
On 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk.
So, Binkley, how are we going to do... let's hear your suggested slogan of Gillibrand in her own words.
Definitely not impossible.
Just that cracks me up because that
definitely
was
definitely not impossible.
That's good. It reminds me of Dumb and Dumber. So my son.
Put it on a t-shirt.
I actually really want that. When my son was in the hospital, he has Down syndrome. So he has a very straightforward sense of humor. So they had Dumb and Dumber in the cabinet, which I don't even know if is like appropriate for kids. It was a pediatric ward, but we were watching it. And it has that line, which I love, where he's like, what are the odds of you going out with me? And she's like, 1,000,000 to 1. And he says, so I got a chance. Definitely not impossible.
Optimist.
Yes. That's just my... Can I hear it one more time?
Definitely not impossible.
Gillibrand running for president. So, another thing. Do we have time for the other one? Can I just throw stuff at you? The one that she did in the beginning, clip number 3. This is important. We'll play the clip, and then I'll tell you why it's important.
I have to pull that one up.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't give anybody...
My grandmother taught me that nothing's impossible. She spent 2 generations organizing women in upstate New York. My mother taught me nothing's impossible. She was one of only 3 women in her law school class and worked with gay couples for basic rights. If you want to get something done, just tell me it's impossible.
So here's the thing about her, though. It is crazy to me that she would bring up her grandmother organizing women in upstate New York, because her father was a lawyer for the Nexium cult, which I believe was in upstate New York.
So he also organized women.
And it was, and her stepmother was a member of the cult. And one of the people, they were really high level people, were involved in this. Nancy Salzman, the Bronfman women were part of it, but Nancy Salzman pled guilty to one of the charges, racketeering conspiracy. So did that Allison Mack. But Salzman admitted to keeping a slave locked in her room for 2 years. I mean, it's really, it's a crazy one for her to bring up. Anyway,
wow.
Give me a call, tweet at me at Monica Perez Show.
Monica Perez.
Don't hate the player, hate the game, son.
On 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk.
I am waking Atlanta up to the true threats to our liberty every Saturday from 3 to 6 right here on 95.5 WSB. And one thing that I think is a serious threat to our liberty is every single person on the Democrat stage, but probably also on the Republican stage. And when I see the debt that they have in store for us with the latest budget, a great bipartisan effort praised far and wide. Finally, we can come together. You know, of course, they always come together. I coined the phrase even before there was a book by almost the same name, but with a different meaning. The liberal fascist center. I always wondered, like, why do we have to compromise at the more warfare, more welfare, and instead of the neither? That's a better compromise. That's the Ron Paul compromise. So even when Trump came out saying, like he always does when he signs these ridiculous budgets, I had to do it. I had to do it for the military. What other way but to give them tons and tons of welfare so I could have tons and tons of warfare? There's no other way. There is another way, because the military budget, which I think should be 95% of the federal budget, but I think the federal budget should be like $300 billion, not four something trillion. So, because one of the only legitimate things the government, federal government, should and can spend money on constitutionally is defense, but it has to be real defense. And so when you look at this great compromise of welfare and warfare, it's just a scam. And they act like they're at the opposite ends of the spectrum, that they're on different sides of the aisle. I think that in itself is a scam. But these guys are all plotting. And to tell you the truth, as a libertarian, it's not just that I object to the budgets and the spending because I think it's theft, which it is. It's I would rather burn the money. What they do with it, not just what they do with it when they invade other countries and send bombs everywhere, or many, many bombs at targeted places that are no threat to our security here, but I object to their welfare spending as well, and not just because it's stealing, but because it hurts not only the people they're stealing from, but the people they're targeting with the money. So I recently read an article that said families are emancipating their children in order to get college aid, because you can't get college aid if your parents can pay, even if they refuse to pay. And that reminded me of what happened when the welfare state came in. It's a very racist and regressive policy that demands that people have a single family home, single parent home, in order to qualify for certain benefits. I mean, at different stages of the game, they use this stuff for social engineering, and it is regressive. It's not progressive. So I consider these policies to be a grave threat to our liberty, our independence, our humanity, like our you know, the nobility of man is contingent on free will. The difference between good and evil. And these things are all a threat to that. So I care about it. And even though it's like torture to watch, if you watched it and you think you have a takeaway or you want to share your impressions, give us a call. If you didn't watch it, but you know who is on the stage, do you think any of those people has a prayer of beating Donald Trump? Let us know. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. You could tweet at me at Monica Perez Show. So my producer, Binkley, is at the ready, as always. Binkley, are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, so this is where I want to start. So I think a lot of people did not actually listen to the Democrat debates. I think they're torture.
Yeah, it's psychological torture at its best.
I always tell Binkley to watch Clockwork Orange. You haven't gotten to it yet, have you?
I watched those debates. Is that not?
It is. When they had to like tape the guy's eyes open and force him to watch like scenes of gore to impair his psyche.
That's what it felt like.
I can't watch them in real time. I used to be able to tweet during them, but it's just they talk too slowly. I can't stand it. It goes on too long.
If you think Joe Biden seems old now, watch it in double speed, then watch it in normal speed.
This is what I do. So I always just dig right in at like 1.5 times speed. And Kamala Harris was talking so slowly at 1.5 times speed. I thought, I must have not put it on 1.5 times. And I went back. And it's like she's on Quaaludes.
She was on something.
Yeah. And she was wearing gray. Like she's seriously putting out an issue. She's definitely not in the running. There's no, I mean, I can't. It's to me, I was wrong about this with Trump, but I would apply the hashtag lose on purpose to Kamala Harris, who's there.
To Kamala Knight Templar Harris, I like to call her.
That's another thing. So that, I don't want to get totally derailed onto Kamala Harris, but I do want to say what that was about. So you and I do our podcast, The Proper Propaganda Report. It's at thepropreport.com. And you had uncovered this story about Kamala Harris and her associations with, what was that guy's name? The Grand Poobah or whatever.
The Grand Master of the Fraternal Masonic Order and the descendants of the first police department, the Knights Templar.
And that is the guy who died when he was supposed to testify, or is somebody
else? That was the guy. The guy who worked for her was buddies with him, and that guy was pleading for Kamala Harris to help him a week before his trial, saying that there was a hit out on his life, and then he died. And these people went around California telling these police departments that they were these Masonic fraternal police department members descended from the Knights Templar, and they were doing it on the authority of Kamala Harris's state's attorney general office.
Okay. Did they really say that?
Yeah, they asked, does Kamala know you're doing this? And he said, they endorse us doing this.
Wow. Well, so you came up with this, and I was like, and it was just, it's too crazy. It reminds me of the Jeffrey Allen Lash story of the guy who claimed to be an alien and like had some really weird details of his life. He's like, I work with the government. I'm an alien hybrid. I'm about to die of some crazy disease they gave me. He said to his girlfriend, just leave me here in the gutter. Someone will come get me. And they didn't. So the story got out, but he had crazy troves of ammunition, guns, amphibious vehicles, all this stuff that was registered. It was legal. So there's some like truth to that story. And it's just a crazy story. And this reminded me of that, just a crazy story. And I had to wonder, is it there and nobody and everyone's ignoring it? Or is it there lying in wait for like the avalanche of Kamala Harris bashing that I anticipate as she makes way for somebody who can more effectively carry the intersectionality banner, who I think is going to be Stacey Abrams, and I know you think so too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm waiting for the Knights Templar thing to come out. Oh, we were waiting for it, and didn't you text me this morning that like, oh my gosh, somebody did.
Yeah, I saw yesterday that some progressive podcast teased to the next podcast about Kamala Harris's Knights Templar story. So we're about to get circumvented again as a story goes national that we already reported.
When did you do the Kamala Harris story?
This was like 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah.
February.
You should find the episode for people to listen to. If you give me the episode number, we can tell them.
126.
So, what is it?
Episode 126.
All right. Episode 126 at thepropreport.com. So is the Knights Templar thing. Yeah, that happened. Like when you uncovered that audio about Stacey Abrams burning the flag and setting back the effort by 10 years of actually changing the racist flag, the flag with the racist overtones, to the normal flag that we have now. And the New York Times said it was attributed it to like an emerging on social media, which you can easily find the exact moment it emerges because,
yep.
I mean, you can just search in Twitter and you see the earliest reference.
But I had that audio for 2.5 weeks because we were off.
Yes, and I remember you were just like, I'm not doing it until we can do it on WSB. So anyway, it happens. It happens. But you know what? Maybe we're better off having a low profile. I'm not kidding. I'm really not kidding. So, good. Well, I would really like to hear what people say. People are calling. So I want to get into the funny, what I think are funny Joe Biden clips, but I do definitely want to hear what other people's impressions were of the debate. So I'm going to go to some calls, 404-872-0750, 800-WSB-TALK. And Binkley, why don't you look and see if people are tweeting at Monica Perez Show. We can read a tweet after we get some of these calls. I am going to go to Robert in Cumming. Hey, Robert, you're on with Monica.
Hi, Monica.
How you doing?
Go. So,
yeah, what you got?
Yes. Well, you had said about, do the Democrats have a chance of winning against Donald Trump? It's all noise. They're not even going to have a chance. I've been voting since 1976. I became a voting age. And that 1984 election between Fritz Mondale and Ronald Reagan is going to look like child's play. He's going to crush him in 2020. Because he's a great president. He's a can-do guy.
What do you think about this debt he just signed, though, this crazy deficit?
What was that?
What do you think about the deficit, this crazy budget that he just signed this week?
That is true. The deficit is high, but it didn't begin with him. And eventually, I'm guessing, because the economy is doing so well, that the private sector will probably start paring it down. Well, I guess you have to do what you have to do sometimes when you're president. Not only do the difficult, but do things that you don't necessarily want to do, but have to do.
Yeah, he did say that he didn't have a choice, although Obama would not sign the budget. So he could at least, you know, he could go down with the ship in that way, but that's not his style. I do worry about the debt and the deficits, though, because it does have an impact on the economy as we have exceeded the 100% debt to GDP ratio, interest rates will start going up. And we have a very low interest rate right now, like 2% on a 10-year treasury, if I'm not mistaken, which means that our interest payment on this debt is fairly low. It's like 10% of the total federal budget. It's like $400 billion or something. But if it goes up, if that rate doubles, in 2010, the 10-year treasury was double the rate that it is now. That would be a major, that would be like almost $1 billion just in, or $1 trillion just in interest. So I think we're on a slippery slope here, and I really care about that. So Trump did not get my admiration this week anyway. But yes, I don't think the Democrats are going to beat him. So I'm going to go to Mike in Marietta. Oh, Mike, make it quick.
Hey,
I'm sorry, I got to get a break. Yeah, what do you got, Mike? Yeah, I'll give you 1 minute. Hey. Go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, that guy stole my thunder just a little bit.
Aww.
It's like, holy cow, you know, when you do good, it's like, well, can't you do better? You know, it's like you got Obama's economy, and look what he did. He doubled it from every president up until him.
Oh, yeah, he doubled the debt, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, and here's Trump that's been in, he's been working things for a little better than 2 years. And everybody wants to know, what are you going to do with the debt? Well, my goodness, you know, look what he's already done.
This is what bothers me.
Economy.
Yeah, this
Go
is
ahead.
What bothers me about the debt, and is that they suspended the sequester. Remember how hard it was to get that Budget Control Act through in 2011? And Obama only did it, I think, because he wanted to win re-election. Maybe I got the timing wrong, but I think that's how it was. So we really, the Republicans really, really fought for that against Obama. But then Trump actually suspends the sequester, and all the Republicans suspend the sequester. So for me, this goes to my contrary law of democracy, that it will take a Republican to do things that Republicans are worried about. Because if a Democrat does it, you fight tooth and nail against it. But as we can see, with the callers, that you'll defend Trump for doing it. But to me, the debt is, and the, at least have a balanced budget. You don't have to pay down the debt, but you do have to have a balanced budget. We actually won the sequester. Don't suspend that. See, this is not, oh, well, he does so much and you want more. I think this is a tell that the other stuff really isn't that important, and that the important stuff we're giving him a pass on. But, you know, that's just my thing. I hate the debt. So let's get to more calls after the break. 800-WSB-TALK. This is Monica Perez.
Monica Perez.
Everything you do is being watched by some all-seeing eye.
On 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk.
I'm going straight to the phone. Steve in Peachtree City. What do you got?
Monica, can you help me understand why the media is so far left liberal? I will be quiet and just listen to your answer.
Nobody
has ever explained it to me.
This is what I think. I think that my father used to marvel at why rich people could be Democrats. He was not a rich man. I think I figured it out. It's that they know that if all the money and the power is at the top, they can tap into it without actually earning it. So, and the people who own the media companies also own oil and gas companies and a lot of other things. They have their hand in a lot of different pots, and they know that if the money and the power is at the top, they can access it. It's a famous libertarian concept, political means versus economic means. The economic means of something is you add value with hard work and good ideas. The political means is you steal the value other people add, the fruits of the labors of other people. The more political means there are, the more you can steal other people's stuff. And I think that's why they do it like that. A few things. Tariq is going to tell us what the negative impact of the debt is. He's got always got some good stuff. So I want to stay tuned for that. Maurice, he's going to go down the rabbit hole with the Nexium thing. So we'll want to hear what he has to say. But it's my birthday, and I'm asking you for a present. I want you to go to my YouTube channel and subscribe. I've never asked for this before, but I have big ideas, and I really need at least 1,000 subscribers, which shouldn't be too hard. If everybody listening, I'd have many times that amount. So go to YouTube, search Monica Perez, and if you wouldn't mind, please subscribe and share my YouTube channel. After the break, this is Monica Perez.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.